So the clock has just struck 1 o'clock and we're going to say welcome to the attendees of this webinar. With me today should be Sue. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
My name is Robin and it's 1 o'clock and we're just, as we always do, we're just going to have a light casual chit chat in the first minute or two while we see attendees joining us. If you joined us at one of the previous Coactive alumni webinars, what we ask at the beginning is please get familiar with the dashboard. Type in the chat box. There's a chat box. Just type in your name and the location, town, city, and if you're outside of the UK, give us a country as well. Let us know where you're joining us from.
So I see 10 participants coming in. Caroline. Hello, Caroline. Emma.
Emma from Bournemouth, sunny Bournemouth. I hear it's good weather in the UK. I'm not there at the moment.
It's very sunny. Oh, up to 12. So if you didn't hear Robin at the beginning, people are just typing in their names. You can keep it first names because we will, unless you're happy, we will be using this recording on the CTI website. So just first names if you wanted to keep it to that.
And I see Motsi from South Africa. Hi, welcome. And Zana, hello, Zana. I see Roberta has joined us. Hi, Roberta, where are you joining us from today? Are you in the UK? I see a few other names who aren't telling us where they're from. If you're not familiar, just the chat, you should see a chat feature on the Zoom platform. We want you to get used to it. It's a practice because through the webinar, we'll ask you to give us some feedback or ask some questions. So welcome to Ashima, Birgit, Caroline, Emily, Emma, Faith, Richard, Susan, Zana. Roberta, you are calling us from London. Welcome. Now, most of you, the numbers are increasing. Reagan, hello. Nina, hello. One thing I realized by watching back the last recording of the last event is you probably see my mouse hovering across the screen. That's because I've got panels and screens which I don't think you can't see. They lay over the webinar, so forgive my mouse shooting around. So I think most of you are here. We're going to kick on. I know most of you will know who myself and or Sue is, but let's just give a few introductions, Sue, just the brief ones.
Yeah. You want me to go?
Oh, yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah, hi, I am a Coactive coach. I've been a Coactive coach for 9 years now. Makes me feel really old. And as well as I do a lot of corporate work, a lot of individual coaching work, midlife professionals I coach, and I coach within the creative industries, execs. And I also love work, it's why I'm here, love working with Coactives, building lucrative, meaningful businesses. That's what I do. So I coach and mentor coaches to do that, and usually through certification.
Great. Thanks, Sue. And did you say you're a full-time coach?
Full-time.
Yeah, full-time. And okay, I'll save those questions. They'll probably come up later.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, thanks, Sue. Hello, everyone. I'm Robin. I work for CTI. Many of your names are familiar to me, and I've spoken to you at some point in your journey. I work for CTI. I also coach part-time. So there are different types of coaches, as we know, full-time, part-time, practitioners who are independent versus those who work within a company. So I'd be a profile of coach who's part-time. And so I coach part-time professionally outside of my CTI work. And then, of course, as a manager, as a leader who works within a company, I use coaching skills every day in my communication. And just recently I was reflecting, I was at a dinner table, and I'm sure all of you can relate to this. I was at a dinner table with a bunch of people, and there was two or three coaches and several people who weren't coaches. And, you know, I don't want to make a them or us. I want to avoid that. However, it was so beautiful observing the other coaches and how they dialogue, just how they opened the conversation constantly. They just took it. They really dived into the depths of the people sitting at the table, and it was really noticeable. And I attribute that to their training. So it shows up everywhere, not just in professional life.
I think actually I just want to say something about that, because I've been speaking, I've had some clients potentially going through coach training, and for me the difference in the coactive is about the depth.
And it can be so subtly pointed to that just goes there. So wonderful. And wonderful to have you all on the webinar joining us today. I see our list has grown even bigger. So if you've just joined us, welcome. Sue and myself, Robin, we're just doing some introductions and asking you to just type in the chat box, get familiar with that functionality, type in your name and the city or country that you're dialing in from. That would be great. We're here to talk about money. And we took feedback from the last webinar we did a couple of weeks ago, and Sue and I maybe spent a bit more time on the Designed Alliance and building the connection, etc. And one or two feedback was really positive and said, hey, let's just dive in. We're all coaches, we've designed the Alliance. So we are going to dive in a little bit more and know that the Designed Alliance is always open and we can ask for what we need or want. And that goes out to you all that says, use the chat box. If you have a question, put it in the chat box. Even a comment.
For me, again, that's about true coactivity. It's that we are both in it. This is not just something. This is what I say to all my clients. This is not something that's being done to you. It's that you are an active part of it.
And I see Marine from Paris, France. Hello, welcome. So money. Sue and I are going to introduce you. We've got a bit of information for you today. We're going to engage with you on some Q&A, and we're going to share with you some ideas to help us understand our relationship to money and how that might be affecting our professional coaching progress, obviously around charging and charging fees, etc. So let me move on. Let me dive in. Sue, you ready to go?
Oh yeah, always about money. Always ready to talk about money.
Yeah. And you actually, a long time ago, I started talking to you, and I really appreciated your approach of money. Very practical, very to the point, and how you helped me overcome one or two, I think, fears that I had just through talking to you repeatedly about it. So thanks, Sue.
You're welcome.
So we have a poll. I'm going to practice one of these polls. We're going to do a number of polls. We just want to gauge who's on. This is anonymous, so no names will show up. We're going to launch a poll, and you should see it on your screen. Let's launch the first one. And the first poll should be on your screen, and you need to choose an option. It says, what was your hourly rate fee for your very first paid for coaching client? So what did you get paid? And we'll give a few moments, and when everyone's voted, we'll close the poll and we'll share the results as a percentage.
And we're not allowed to do that because we'll completely skew it.
What, to participate, you mean?
Yeah, it's just telling me on there, I can't participate.
So 77% has voted, and I believe most of you have dialed in via the internet. Two are in via the phone. Those of you who dialed in from the phone, you could put your answer in the chat. Basically, we're looking for how much we charged our very first paying client. 88%, I think that's it. So that's everyone, because the last two are phones. Let's end the poll and share the results. So you should be able to see the results.
Wow, yeah.
88%, 1 to 50. Mm-hmm. One maverick went out there and charged between 100 to 150 first time. Good on you.
I am, yes, definitely celebrating you. Who was that, by the way? If you want to not be anonymous.
And Sue, and there's some, and we're not making it wrong that we charge between 1 and 50 the first time, right?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. And there is a big piece for me about the stretch and the challenge and what that does for us internally and as a coach in getting past that marker. Yes.
And this is what I love about having Sue on the call. She has a very kind of definite view, a firm view about money, which doesn't always correlate with what I hear from some other coaches or even our leaders who teach the courses. And I think that brings so much value. So thanks, Sue. Keep bringing it. So we have another poll. Watch your screen. Launching poll. Your current fee. What is your current coaching fee? Okay, it's growing. Come on, we're at 38%, 50%. Let's get up to 88% participation.
I love this facility.
You know what I didn't put? I didn't put a zero. So in the sense that if you're not...
God, that's right.
That's true. I didn't put a zero on. There's a handful more people, 4 in total, that need to... If by chance your figure isn't represented because you're not charging, it's a zero, just stick a note in the chat.
Yeah, please do.
We're almost there. Okay. It's a minute. I'm gonna close it there. Even though not everyone has okay, one person has put an in the box saying they're not coaching at the moment. So,
okay.
End poll, share the results. Here we go. Current coaching fee, a good percentage. There were 30% of you have gone beyond the 1 to 50 and you've gone up. So let's have a look at that. It's a good jump. Quite a lot of you have jumped and moved up, many more in the second and third and fourth range. Okay, now hold in mind.
Thank you for letting us know that.
Okay. So I'm going to stop sharing that. We're going to launch another poll very quickly. We're just getting a feel for who's on the call. And this poll, what's your current perspective? So how do you feel about your current coaching fee? Charging too little? Or do you feel it's good, it's about right, or you're charging too much?
And Maureen, can I just ask you to put in the box, if you're happy to, what you're charging your private clients while you're in certification?
Okay, so let's end this poll and we're going to share those results. So what do you think of that, Sue?
I'll just take a moment to collect myself. I actually find it quite upsetting, to be honest. I find it quite upsetting that there's such a high number of people charging in the 1 to 50 and knowingly feeling that they charge too little. I actually find that quite upsetting, yeah.
Of course, a big question which we're going to explore through this webinar is, what is it that might be holding you back from charging more? Mm-hmm. We're going to hold that question going through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put that to one side. On your screen, it asks you all to reset. Those of you who have called in on the phone and can't see the screen, it says, forget for a moment everything you think you know or feel about money and coaching fees. Just try and let that go. You know, with the power of visualization, just kind of wash it off you for a moment.
And if you are standing in front of a potential client right now, so just imagine you're standing in front of a potential client right now. You've just finished a sample session. It went really well. You really gave them value. They want to coach with you, and they ask you what your hourly fee is. You are about to quote your fee, and the price you tell them is what you feel 100% comfortable charging. Not a should or a must, but a genuine representation of what you really feel your coaching is worth today. So just stay with that and really go on intuition. Come away from the head, the should or the must. Take a deep breath. And when you're ready, put that figure into the chat box now.
And just to be clear, Sue and I won't be reading out your figure. It's less about us knowing the figure or sharing it publicly. We just want you to note it down. Thank you. We're quiet because we're giving space and allowing all these comments to come through. Mm-hmm. And again, it's fascinating the range from sort of low to medium to really high. And we're gonna cover this because I've had my own journey around this as to, and I see some of your comments. There's been a couple of comments which we'll address a bit later. And this is what this webinar is about. We're just exploring, right? Nothing's wrong, but we're exploring. Okay. If you haven't put a number in, come back as soon as you can and let us know and commit to that figure. So.
Who is that quote by, Robin?
I took that out of the book, The Prosperous Coach.
Yes. Really, really good book.
Yeah, I know people, and if you haven't read it, everyone on the call, make a note of that book. It has varying feedback from people I know. Some people love it, some people hate it. There were parts of the book that was a bit of, nothing against Americans, but it was a bit Americanized for me, which wasn't really my thing. But it was so full of wisdom and perspective, and it really helped me. So I would definitely recommend it.
Faith, it's The Prosperous Coach. And what's his name again, the writer? I can't remember his name.
Rich Litvin, or it was Steve Chandler.
Yeah, Rich Litvin and Steve Chandler.
I'm writing it. So, Stephen Chandler, I think that's what it is.
So, just taking those figures, was the figure you've just stated, was it lower, the same, or higher than your current coaching rate?
And I have a poll for that.
They are great. Lower, same, or higher? So just giving you time to answer that poll.
I think that's everyone.
Yeah, good, great.
So let's share those results quickly.
Wow.
So that ties in quite clearly with the previous poll, which says you felt that your coaching is worth more than you're charging, and therefore your current, what you felt your coaching is worth, you've indicated here is higher. So that correlates well. The same means, in my vocabulary, the same means you are congruent with what you feel the value of your coaching is and what you're charging. And interestingly, one person says lower.
Yeah.
Or I just see in the chat someone said they inverted. So that might be the person who – okay. Yes. So the person in the chat, thank you for telling us that you got that wrong. I think it was higher. So no one is saying lower.
Thank you, Roberto.
So this slide on your screen, it's about what you decide your coaching is worth. That's why we did that little exercise. What do you decide your coaching is worth? And then we've got to challenge ourselves and question ourselves as to how, when it's just left up to us, as we know as coaches, with us and our sometimes our rational and irrational way of approaching things, how do we determine worth? And we're going to run you through a bit of information download. We're going to be sharing quite a bit of content, and I recommend you have a pen and paper if you have one, because you may want to take some notes, or you may want to just give yourself a cue as to something you need to reflect on later. But we're gonna look at three areas which might influence, and I think I've covered it on the next slide. Three things.
Yeah. What do you actually feel and believe the value of coaching is as an industry?
In your training to date, we all love the training I make up, I'm pretty sure, and in your experience coaching, what has come up for you in that time about coaching as an industry? Do you have any doubts? Just this is something to reflect on. Do you have any doubts about the value of coaching as an industry and the marketplace?
For me as well, it's also how much you value the impact of coaching on people's lives, on your clients' lives. Don't know if that muddies the water a bit, Robin.
No, absolutely. It's there. I would say that fits in perfectly.
Because it's something that comes up with the coactives I work with all the time. I'm having to really remind them the value of what we do. We help people change their lives. Like, seriously, that is worth more than a mid-range meal for two on a Tuesday night.
I don't know. What keeps coming up for me now is this, and we cover this in the training, is we've generally lived in a competitive business landscape where we really celebrate the consultant approach, the knowing, the knowledge, the fixing. I have a solution for you. And I don't know if that comes up as to we're not playing that game. We're not here to give you an absolute solution. And I just wonder if that, depending on one's background, if that makes one question, and I speak from my own experience, if that might question value, possibly. So that has an inquiry, and we're going to just show you through some information. If you haven't already come across the 2016, last year's published ICF Global Coaching Survey or study, I highly recommend you Google it and download it and read the executive summary. We're going to show you some highlights from that now, just to help give some input into how we might view coaching as an industry. The numbers at the bottom of the slide just points out that this was a global survey with over 15,000 respondents from many different countries and different languages, and not just from the ICF membership itself. It was much wider than that. So it has a credible reach. Based on the information received, these are the figures across regions of the world. And you can see there in the US, it's a $1 billion industry. Not far off that in Western Europe. That's where many of us reside. And then it varies and goes down to other areas. And of course, over the years to come, we'll see growth in those areas. This is an average annual income across the different regions. You can see the US dollar, of course, $55,000 on average in Western Europe. These are averages. And at the bottom, was an extract about coaches asked about their forecast. What do they see over the next 12 months? And you can see an overwhelmingly positive view for the future in number of clients, their rates, number of sessions, and their general income. So they all see a positive change in the next 12 months. That's a good sign from practicing coaches. And this is just a little, because these graphs are just to show quickly questions that might come up in that. These are different types of clients held by the different by people interviewed as in a grouping. And you can see, obviously, managers, executives, business owners, and personal client. Now, I can't recall in the study how they differentiated that, but I have, it might relate to sponsorship, which is what I cover on the next slide. And I have what I deem as personal clients who fit into all three of those categories above. So personal client I make up as someone who comes to you direct, because the next slide shows you the split between primary and sponsored. And it's almost half-half. It leans a little bit more to sponsored. Sue, can you give us the definition of the difference between sponsored and primary?
I've never used those terms at all before, but I would have thought that was paid for and private, isn't it?
So sponsored would, my makeup is the is an organization, a company has their department, learning and development, human resources, whoever it is, recruits a coach to work on a member of a team. So those slides there was just covering our, please put in the chat box, has anything come up, any perspectives? We see a couple of questions in there. Does any of that relate, Sue, to what we've been discussing? Anything come
up?
Yeah,
it's interesting. I thought what was really interesting for me, what is it, Reagan? Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, Reagan. Really interesting here about the depth and not feeling the value. And my thing would always be, you know, what did you do about that in terms of co-designing, being coactive and discussing that? Because I've had that same situation as well to address that, but still really interesting perspective. And this opinion, very high rates, making coaching a service reserved for the economic elite. I would absolutely answer to that in terms of you can charge higher rates for some people and lower rates for other to really counter that and still value yourself, what you do and what you bring. I completely agree with it, Reagan, in terms of don't just go completely out there, but you can absolutely do a mix of rates.
I'm just trying to see who it was earlier, but someone actually mentioned that to say different rates for different audiences.
Absolutely.
And earlier on, Reagan made a comment to saying low fees give the latitude to get it wrong, i.e. fall short and not feel too guilty about it.
I so agree with that. The higher my rates have gone, and I've just put my rates up within the last year after reading The Prosperous Coach, I am seriously, the value I add to my clients, I've really taken that up a notch. Yeah, it's very psychological.
So what are you saying there, Sue, that by charging more money, you up your game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I give more value, I up my game. Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking to Reagan's point there about, do you have any fear? Does any fear come up about then getting it wrong or not delivering that value?
I don't know whether it's fear, probably, because I'm a human being. Fear is part of being human. Probably, but I've turned that into, okay, how can I really, what do I want to do to really feel that I'm giving value?
And again, speaking to Reagan's point about what's variable about the other person, it works both ways, because I know in many instances, remember, you decide what your coaching's worth, and in many clients, depending on their economic situation, they often, and this is true in consumerism in general, they often place a value on something based on the price tag. So,
absolutely.
So obviously making that real, and I'm not saying I totally agree with this and it's the most authentic way to do it, but if you have someone in front of you who would look at a 500, I'm just throwing a figure out there, £500 an hour as a coaching fee, they might look at that and go, whew, it's a bit steep, but you know what? I'm going to stretch myself. I'm going to go for it. And that's a price tag I'm willing to pay for great coaching. Whereas that same person, you might have charged $50 and they may have immediately gone, huh, that's not going to be very good. And, yeah. And don't take you up on it. So that's a variable we deal with as well as coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that is a real, real danger of charging too small a fees, that people will not value it and you don't value it. Just speaking to Faith, if that's all right, Robin. I am a full-time coach. Yeah, I usually have around 10 to 12, and that's a mixture of private and corporate, but I'm probably 70-30 in favor of private at the moment, and then I've also got another couple of long-term projects on the go as well.
One last comment I want to speak to. Reagan, thanks for being so engaging in chat. And anyone else on the call, feel free to dive in as well. Reagan, there was your comment about charging an upfront higher fee for 3 to 6 months if someone decides to quit the coaching, and that leaves you having to pay back a lot. Read the Prosperous Coach. There were some good examples there around how to deal with that and what and a position to take. It's really interesting. So we want to jump on. There was three things we wanted to talk to you about. The one was coaching as an industry, and we've just shown you some figures to say that these figures suggest, in my opinion, coaching is a viable industry. People make money from it, and the industry as a whole is worth a lot of money, and that's growing. If you look even outside the ICF, through other surveys, Sherpa and a few others, the coaching industry is growing. And one slide I don't have on here is the number of coaches, and it's in the survey. If I remember, it was something around 60,000, I think it was, certified coaches in Western Europe. I think it was, I might be wrong, but it was around 60,000 in Western Europe. 60,000 certified coaches. Compare that as a ratio to the number of millions of people in Western Europe. That's a small number. Number two, moving on. Another factor that affects our judgment or self-assessment of worth. How do we view ourselves? You as a coach, how much do you believe in and value yourself and your offer to others? And you brought this up earlier, Sue, as a kind of merging into number one when we've split it here.
Yeah, for me, it's such a key thing that if you do not value yourself and the coaching that you do, then how can you expect others to?
And Sue, can be so subtle. Every one of us on the call, just reflect on previous experiences of showing up with a client and quoting your fee, making an offer. And we've all been there. Like, did you, like, this is metaphorically speaking, did you wobble? Was there a shake internally? Was there a nervousness? Totally understandable. Was there a nervousness? And where did that come from? Does it come from an uncertainty around your offer, the value you're offering? And the reason I point there is this is the work we do. Like, if that wobble, and I call it an energetic wobble internally, and this, if that wobbles, I go there. This is the language I use. It energetically impacts how it's received by the other person.
Yeah, clients will feel it.
Go back to the poll. I think it was the fourth poll we launched around was the figure lower, same, or higher? And there was a small percentage of you same, meaning your current fee you're offering. And the current fee you're charging and the current fee that you feel is right for you in your offer was the same. Now, in theory, you should, whoever those few of you were, you're energetically, you should be completely at peace and confident saying that rate. No matter how much or low it is, there's congruency there. And it's almost like in a way, let's ignore the value. Let's not the value, the amount, the actual, the tag, the fee. Let's look at congruency. Those who, and Sue, here's a question for you, I suppose, is those on the call who said that they're undercharging, they feel like they're charging too little and they should be charging more, and they're going and they're presenting to a client or a prospect a fee, and they think they're charging less. I wonder what energetic impact that's having.
Well, huge. Absolutely huge. And there is no way I personally would work with a coach who I felt that with.
Even though they're charging too little, like, I wonder, yeah, what goes, it's the same theme, really.
Yeah. And actually, I kind of go one stage further about this in terms of when I'm working with people, I get coaches to go to just above that rate. So just say you think you should be charging 100. You're not, and you think you should be charging 100. I actually stretch coaches to maybe charge 125, and it will be uncomfortable. Of course it will, because you're stepping out of some belief that you have that's limiting you. But just stretch into it, and what always happens is they get it. They get that fee. They say it, their client doesn't bat an eyelid. So it just shows how much we limit ourselves around this and around money. And it, you know, and we're going to come to, you know, it's even deeper than that. It's not about us as a coach. It's the beliefs that we were brought up around as children in our family systems. That's what we're running on.
And I'll take that even deeper. It's that and society in large. And there's the whole thing. We'll come to that. And Sue, the confidence piece that you're speaking to, what's really interesting for everyone on the call, some of you were on the previous one 2 weeks ago and some not. One of the polls we ran was around 3 or 4 or 5 options. And we said, pick the one that's holding you back now as a professional coach. And the first option was lack of confidence. And not a single person chose lack of confidence. I was really surprised by that, because I think every one of us suffers lack of confidence in some area.
Yeah.
And I want to just point that here, that says, is that a blind spot? Some of those people didn't pick confidence as an issue? And Sue, what you're naming there about the fees, there is a confidence element to that. So just an inquiry. Hey, relook and say, is it a confidence thing? And is that work we need to be doing?
I love how you say that, Robin. I actually say I'm calling it out as a blind spot.
And is it confidence as a human being in general? As in just a general confidence issue as a human being? And or is it a confidence in your coaching? Is it in your particular coaching practice you don't feel confident as a coach? It could be one or the other or both. And reflecting deeper on doing your own work in those two areas and working with a coach. More practice in coaching, if that's where your confidence is lying. Get in touch with your old course mates and set up triad coaching. And bring that. I know some groups do that very effectively.
They are so linked. They just cannot not be linked. And we all have it. It's just part of being human. And I just want to speak to Faith's chat. Thank you for sharing, Faith.
Faith speaks to something. I hear an echo on my side, Sue. How is it for you?
No, I'm good.
Okay, great. Faith speaks to something, and I'm going to follow your lead, Sue. You felt you didn't want to read it out, so I won't read it out. But Faith spoke to something that she has a physical response to what she's hearing. And wow, of course, we are coaches. This content that we're giving you, notice. Thank you, Faith, for demonstrating and leading so wonderfully. Guys, where is this hitting? Where is this hitting you? Resonance, dissonance. Where is it hitting you? This is how we learn. This is how we feel into what's true for us, our own inner authority.
And I would also say this is how we model for our clients. You know, what are the issues? What are the areas for us to stretch and learn and grow? And that is what we're modeling for our clients all the time.
Okay, number three, everyone. Thank you for bearing with us.
So what is your relationship to money? So I just want you to take a moment, close your eyes, take a couple of long, slow, deep breaths. We're going to do a really tiny little visualization. So just trust. So you breathe in. You breathe out. I breathe in. I breathe out. We both need oxygen to survive. Would you worry that there would not be enough oxygen for both of us? Of course not. Air is abundant. Now, take another breath and imagine we are scuba diving and my scuba tank starts to malfunction. I signal that I need to share the oxygen in your tank. Suddenly, the air becomes a precious commodity. Its scarcity makes us worry. What if there isn't enough for both of us?
So if you've opened your eyes again on the screen, and for the phone and listeners who are on the phone, I'll read it out. Scarcity versus abundance mentality. Our attitudes towards scarcity and abundance in all aspects of our lives greatly influence our success. I see this come up over and over again, and I've actually, someone pointed it out to me. It wasn't you, Sue. It was another CTI mentor. Someone pointed it out to me, and they articulated it in a way, and I was like, I get it. And working in the community, both in CTI and other communities I'm involved with a primed eye and ear, I now have the framework, if you like, to assess scarcity abundance mentality. It's fascinating how it shows up in myself and or others. And wow, how powerful it is. We've all done balance coaching, embedded perspectives, how our life is determined by how we show up and the position we take. Wow, this, scarcity abundance. How, I'd just love to just ask the audience quickly, chat box, and I saw Chris. Hi, Chris, welcome. I saw you put your comments in the Q&A box. Can you move over to the chat box, please, so we don't miss your comments? Just in the quick chat box, give us a quick yes, no. Have you or are you aware, like fully aware, of this idea of scarcity versus abundance mentality before today? Just give us a yes or a no. Hell yes.
Thank you for the honesty, Emma. Yeah. I think it's really human, because I think it's that, in terms of, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's a survival fear. It's the survival, you know, it's the fear, can we survive? Can we live?
And we live in this world that currently is driven by money, and money is a necessity, and we have to take care of those necessities, absolutely. But there is something immensely powerful in this distinction between scarcity and abundance. And we're linking it back to confidence. It takes a good degree of confidence, and linked to that is trust to step into an abundant mindset. An abundant mindset, it's another way of framing so much of what we already work with as coaches, but wow, that'll test confidence and trust.
Yeah, particularly when you are the main earner, which I am, and have a child to feed and a mortgage to pay. That will test you. Mm.
Yeah. So I'm watching the time, and we want to make sure we give time to answer some questions and give some more practical input as might be required from the group. So we're gonna shoot through the next few slides swiftly, and because many of you have said that you are aware of the scarcity versus abundance, so this will be a primer and an invitation for deeper inquiry. So let's move on. We ask ourselves this question: do I have a scarcity mindset? It is suggested that most people are deeply scripted in a scarcity mentality. They see life as having only so much, as though there were only one pie out there, and if someone were to get a big piece of the pie, it would mean less for everyone else. Continued, people with a scarcity mindset have a very difficult time sharing recognition and credit, power, or profit, even with those who help in the production. They also have a hard time being genuinely happy for the success of other people. Going back to faith and your comment earlier, when those words are read out, just notice what comes up for you. What impact do they have on you?
And I want to speak to Caroline's no. Can you give us just a little bit of information about where you got your abundance mindset from?
Her no might have been, I asked the question, are they aware of the scarcity versus abundant?
Ah, right, okay.
Versus,
I thought resonance with recognition of. Let us know, Caroline, which it is, yeah.
I think I'm moving away from scarcity mentality. Excellent to hear. And it is a journey.
Yeah. What's helped you, Maureen? Thank you, Caroline.
On the screen, we still have phone call people not looking at the screen, so we'll have to run through the slides.
Yeah, right, okay.
This is where we want to be. Do I have an abundance mindset? The abundance mentality flows out of a deep inner sense of personal worth or security. It is the paradigm that there is plenty out there and enough to spare for everyone. It results in the sharing of prestige, recognition, profits, and decision-making. It opens possibilities, options, alternatives, and creativity. Heck, that sounds a lot more empowering.
Well, and it makes me think about the more you do that or try, because it's not like you said, most of us come from scarcity. I absolutely do. The more you step into it or even fake it till you make it, right, I'm going to go for it, the more that comes back to you. That's what I've noticed.
And I just want to tie in a thought or an idea back to Reagan, something you said around feeling guilty, getting it wrong, etc. And I saw Chris, one of your comments in the Q&A box was around, let me just pull it up. It has to be good, effective coaching. That was probably related to how much you charge and how much worth you feel. Here's an idea. A deep inner sense of personal worth here in this abundance mindset. Guys, coactive coaching, you've learned the skills and the framework, the model. Trust me, I speak to leaders and people who have been coaching in this model, Sue included, for 20 plus years, and they keep telling me about their learning. And that they come back to the model and they go, wow, I'm still learning. So don't wait for I got it, I'm there, I know it all. I don't think it ever happens. I don't think we ever get there. So how do we come to this point of deep personal worth, knowing that how you show up and you're charging someone money for the skills you have today, the person you are, more than the skills, the presence of you showing up and holding the space for that person, from a deep inner sense of personal worth, what that does to your presence, and the gift that is to the other person at the most basic of coactive skills around listening, powerful questions, and mirroring back and articulating what's going on. I mean, those are some of the basic fundamentals of coaching. And you do, you offer that from a place of personal worth and presence. I don't know if you can get it wrong.
Yeah. And I absolutely say to all coactives, you can give value from that first evening of fundamentals when you do that first coaching session. I vividly remember mine. The value you can bring to somebody just from that, from doing a day and a half, let alone having done the whole of core curriculum. It's huge. And I think we really need to remember that. I don't think we realize it a lot. I think that can get forgotten because we're just doing it all the time.
Exactly. And of course, the inquiry, the question that's hovering around all of our minds, unless we already have certainty, is which mindset might be influencing our relationship to money and coaching fees? Whew.
Yeah.
I can feel a bit heavy, can't it?
Yeah, it can be. And what's the information in that? What is the information to be had from how you are feeling right now for you as a coach and a human being?
Maureen's comment, taking a chance on whatever life has to give.
Nice, Maureen. Nice.
So check in with the audience. How are you? Let us know. We have several minutes left on this webinar. We haven't been bombarding you with practical tools like charge this much and package it like that. We can certainly offer some of that. We wanted to go a little bit deeper into some history, stuff that goes on inside of us. And we invite you to share some comments, some questions, and let us know what's needed. Design with Sue and I what's needed in the final minutes of this time together.
I just want to say I'm really feeling what you just said as well, Faith. So thank you for sharing it. Ashima, trying to figure out what an abundance mindset does to fear. I'd say come away from your head and just feel into what that might do. Caroline wants some practical tools. Caroline, what do you want? What kind of practical tool would you like? What do you want a tool for? Let us know. We can do that. Daring is my state right now, Maureen. And it is that for me. It's daring to go there, daring to feel uncomfortable, daring to value yourself, daring to value the coaching, daring to have faith in your client that they will value all of that too. Love that.
And while Caroline, hopefully you're going to tell us what practical tools, even if it's just one, I just want to speak to, I want to make something clear about the actual price tag, the amount. And this is my view. Some people might disagree. The amount you charge, like in a way is, I don't say it's irrelevant because as Sue's pointed out, it's pretty important and there are so many variables to consider. My own journey as a coach, I've come back to, I charge what I am comfortable charging. And I've done my homework and I continue to do my work that says, am I charging? I have three rates. One of them is fairly low and middle, and then the upper one is a good rate. And I know I could charge probably double, if not triple, what I charge. And that doesn't defeat me or diminish me. I continue to do my work. I am comfortable with the money I charge for my coaching. I feel congruent. And I do question it now and then. I'm like, hey, why aren't I charging three times as much? Because I know I could.
Well, I would be straight away pushing back on you and getting you to do the uncomfortable, as you know, Robin.
Yeah. And I resonate with so much of what Reagan was challenging us with ideas and variables. And behind what you're saying there is an assumption that if you're a coach, you're only succeeding if you are charging huge amounts of money, let's say. And what's huge? Define huge, but higher. And I love that, Sue. And I'm doing my work, and I ask myself that, and that's continued work. I feel congruent with what I charge, and I won't. What I take from you, Sue, is I won't get complacent. I'll keep checking in with that, and I might actually call you up for a coaching session one day.
What do you mean, might?
Okay, I will.
And I just thank you, Robin, and I just want to speak to Caroline. Caroline, absolutely come away from the hourly rate. It's the best thing I ever did, and it's the best thing in terms of your client absolutely valuing what you do, because you don't just rock up for the hour. You support them in between. You hold them in their process. You hold them in reaching their goals and changing their absolute wonderful, magnificent life. And the Prosperous Coach is brilliant for that, because it got me to come away from hourly or monthly. So absolutely come away from that. Do not charge by session. In terms, I want to speak to Emma, going from scarcity to abundance. I'd move away from the how question and check in with what will you do? What's the one thing you will do in the next 2 weeks to move away from scarcity to abundance? So come up with one action that will help you do that. And I hold you as a creative, resourceful woman, Emma, in coming up with what that might be. And you might want to work with your coach or another coach on your training to come up with that. This is Maureen. My automatisms to fees is to link it to time and stave off
market. State of market.
Right. Yeah, I really would come away from hourly. I don't know if that's what you mean by time. I link my fee to, you know, an initial 4 months or 6 months for coactive coaches and the goals we're going to achieve. I don't relate it to state of market because, hey, the market is vast in terms of state. There's such a wide range.
A quick add on and linking it to time. In that Prosperous Coach book, there was a very quick little story. Picasso was sitting in a cafe in France, I think it was, and he was drawing a doodling on a little napkin. Someone went up to him and said, "Hello, sir, can I buy that napkin from you? How much would it be?" And he said, $20,000. And she went, "What? It took you 10 minutes to scribble that." And he went, "No, madam, it took my whole life."
And there it is. And there it is. They're not just buying that 50 minutes or 1 hour. It's all of who you are as well as what you bring as a coach. And you are helping them change their lives. Seriously. Helping people change their lives. And I want to speak to what Reagan says about CJ Hayden. Absolutely great. Working with real people. All people are real people to me. And you can charge lower rates and higher rates. It depends what you need in terms of an income. You know, do CJ Hayden, I don't know her situation. She's got a whole big model and a whole marketing and a book. So that will bring her other income. So yeah, that's great that she can do that. Great. And I think all people are real people.
Yeah.
A middle class, yeah.
I hear you, Reagan. I hear you completely. And I think what Sue's pointing to is, if you want, if it suits your purpose, you can have a range to help you continue to serve all people.
This is the thing. This is the thing that's so important to me. It's that, you know, links to that old saying, you can't pour from an empty cup. If you can't pay your bills, feed your child, pay for your rent or your mortgage, how can you expect to fully serve others?
Just another little fable. I was on British Airways reading The Business Life, and there was one of the most successful entrepreneurs in Britain. He had a pretty stern message to corporate UK saying he knows many corporates jumping on the charitable social responsibility bandwagon. And his message at the end of the day was like, focus on your profits first, get into a position of profitability first, so that you can your social responsibility will be sustainable.
Yeah.
And that's kind of
it. It's the same thing, isn't it? You can't serve others if you're not got food. And also, you know, you're modeling again for your clients in terms of self-care.
Five clients might be all you need to then coach 30 clients at a lower rate that you want to do. I just love, thank you for the engagement, everyone. There's been a good few of you been very communicative. Thank you. That has made a big difference. And I'm just noticing the time, and we want to respect time. Comments, closures, anything needed for a follow-up, we can cover an email, references. Thank yous. Thank you, Roberta. Mm. Oh, you just nailed it.
Great. Thank you very much.
It was such a pleasure seeing all your familiar names. Sue and I wish you all the best. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep an eye on your emails for more check-ins like this.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Sue.
Bye.
Enjoy your bike ride, Sue.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.